folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart.
Somebody sounds like they got the crud a little bit.
I did.
Traveling on another trip, you come home with the crud again.
It just happens, okay? I've just got to own it. I'm one of those that easily gets sick. But good thing I've got Tigger here to help me out a little bit with this show. So please forgive me if my voice is a little raspy or I start coughing. I'm not trying to.
Your trip from Vegas brought you back the crud.
That's right. I just came back from Vegas, but it was not about the gambling. Actually, this was a special trip I took with two of my nephews that turned 11 this year. It was their turn to go on an adventure with Aunt Beck. So what did we do? We flew into Las Vegas, and you're wondering why? Because in case you haven't known this, Vegas is a great hub city to get you to other destinations and save money. You see all those sales going on all the time about lower flights to get to Vegas. That's why we used Vegas. We flew into Vegas with us traveling then on to Zion National Park. But here's another tip I want to throw at you. A lot of times, if you are doing this, you end up having to rent a car. And this works for any city across the United States. There's a company out there I want you to be aware of. And this is, they're not paid to be brought up and mentioned or anything. This is me totally sharing.
This is just, you use this.
I use this service.
And you thought it was BA.
And I was surprised how few people knew about the service. And that is Turo.com. Again, that's Turo.com. Turo.com. And what it is essentially is the Airbnb of car rentals. That's right. People are renting out their personal vehicles for you to use. Now, why would you use this service? Because there are savings to be had.
You're talking about versus like the airport rental or something like that.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Instead of using the big boys we all know of, Hertz, Enterprise, I've never had a problem with those either. I enjoy using those. However, Turo is another one to try and price match or at least check out. Now, here's the deal where the reason why I'm bringing this up is I was surprised. My first thing when I started looking at Turo.com was, boy, what's going to happen with my auto insurance? You know, you hear about the protection plans. How am I covered? So I called my insurance agent immediately, and she actually had never heard of this website either. But she called the underwriters for my policy, and they said, absolutely, Turo.com is real.
Okay, they were very aware of this.
Yes.
So did you have to call our insurance agent before you rented this vehicle?
Now, I would not have had to, but I will strongly advise that before you rent a vehicle, regardless if it is from a rental car agency that's well known or from a place like Turo.com, you always check what your policy and liability coverage is.
Good tip.
That way you know if you need to add additional protection or not, or if you're willing to roll the dice and gamble with no protection, okay? But anyway, regardless, to rent a vehicle, you have to carry liability insurance.
So I got a question for you, and this is the first time I'm hearing about this is how you rented a vehicle. I knew you were going to rent some sort of a car to buzz around with our nephews, but I never knew you were using this service. I'm assuming, number one, you can pick what kind of vehicle you want.
Yes.
That if you want to drive a car or van or something.
Absolutely. They have all the makes, models. It's easy to filter through what you want, as well as about how many days. I mean, it's just like any other rental site.
And it shows up spotless clean?
Yes. And get this.
Am I the only one that thinks this is weird, though? Renting your vehicle out to a complete stranger? Come on, let's be honest about this.
Well, and the other side of this is, here's the deal. This is usually done sight unseen. So sometimes you will meet the owner of the vehicle, or for say, for example, you're flying late into an airport, you can have booked this ahead of time and they will send you an email. It'll all be through your mobile app on your phone. It'll say what lot, where to look at, the code to enter in to get access to the car. It has the keys inside of it. You take photos of the car yourself to prove that this is how I received the car. And then when you return it, you simply take photos again with your phone, upload them to this app that's really easy to use, submit it. The owners acknowledge that they agree that is the accurate description and look. That's how the vehicle was delivered and received. Everyone's happy and you're good to go. Now, I had an unbelievable guy that rented to me where, for example, we were staying down on the Strip. We were using that as our home base, the casino hotel resort, as our home base for our trip. So I didn't need the vehicle for the entire time. So I took an Uber to get us to said casino resort hotel. And then the day that I needed it, I just messaged the individual whose car I was renting. And he said, hey, no problem. I'll meet you at 5 p.m. at this door of that casino. And there he was. And then when I needed to deliver the car back, he said, hey, let me make life easier for you. I'll just come pick it up with you at the same door. And if you want to ride to the airport, I'll save you $20. I said, oh my gosh, game changer. So you're dealing with real people. That's what I like.
Okay, give this website again, because now you've got everybody intrigued. I was scared to use Uber the first time, but okay, what is it called again?
Turo.com.
Spell this out.
Turo.com.
And you are giving this a 4 thumbs up.
I am giving it thumbs up all around. This is my second time using it, and I have been very happy.
And you know why I'm giving it a thumbs up? Because that first thing you said saved money. That saves Tigger money.
We mentioned that we love hearing from you, and yes, we have. Coming up after the break, we tackle one of your questions about cloud seeding. This is a really, really interesting one, folks. Can cloud seeding change the weather? We will find out when the Ben Show returns.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy, and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Welcome back to the Ben Show. Now, we've had a few listeners reach out about the weather, cloud seeding in particular. The question at hand: has some of the dangerous weather that many parts of the country received this summer been due to cloud seeding? That's what some are claiming. I've turned Tigger loose on this one.
In our neck of the woods, this summer has been one for the record books in terms of the amount of tornadoes we've received. And what about, we've had very cool weather during normally hot times of the year, and we've had very hot weather during normally cool times of the year, not to mention the massive flooding that has gripped areas of Texas. And one of the culprits that some have blamed for this erratic weather pattern is cloud seeding. We don't know anything about cloud seeding, but one man does, and wanted to get down to the bottom of this question as well. KX News Chief Meteorologist Kenny Miller. Hey, Kenny, thanks for jumping on the program with us. Before we get into just what the heck cloud seeding is and how it works, I understand that you wanted to be a weatherman since you were just a wee one, since you were six.
My family had a beach house in Surf City, North Carolina. Got destroyed by Hurricane Fran in 1996, and I was 6 years old again, and I kept asking myself why. Dragged my mom to the library, got to get all the books I can on hurricanes, got to know why. And that question has driven me with every weather concept since I was six. Went to Penn State for my undergrad, one of the most well-renowned schools for meteorology in the country. Went to grad school for meteorology at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology in Rapid City. My first professional job in this was in Gaithersburg, Maryland, forecasting for agricultural commodities traders. So I got a lot of ag background with that. Did that for about 5 years. Developed a really strong passion for agriculture as a result of that. That's why I do my weekly segments on Ag Weather Watch, where I meet with farmers, get the lowdown on how the outlook's going this year, how the weather's impacting things. It's a strong passion of mine, and like they're the lifeblood of the states. Like they feed the world, they feed the country. Like they're the rock stars here. And so it's kind of weird how everything that you did 10, 15, 20 years ago kind of comes back to help you, so to speak, down the road. So many people have misconceptions. Like, and again, maybe I'm jumping, putting the cart before the horse here, but like there's a staggering misunderstanding between what a forecast says and what people think a forecast says. And it's now, while I'm a broadcast meteorologist, kind of my side mission to kind of narrow the gap between what we're telling you and what your perception of what we're telling you is. And, you know, the whole cloud seeding controversy, was the Texas flash flooding events because of weather manipulation? Was the derecho that we had because of that? Were there tornadoes because of that? And I think there's just a vast misunderstanding of what is done, what is not done, what is possible, what isn't. And it all goes back to what started everything for me, which was the answer to the question, why? If I can explain what's going on through meteorology, that's good enough for me. No conspiracy, no wandering side trails that could it be this? No, I don't do that game. Here's what happens scientifically, period. And that's why I did all this in the last 25 years of my life, so that I could answer why.
Start us out from the beginning, Kenny, of what cloud seeding technically is and what its purpose is or was supposed to be, or what its intended use is.
Sure. Yeah, the cloud seeding or the cloud modification project here in North Dakota is actually the longest running one in the world. It dates back to 1961. The purposes of cloud seeding, there's one of two goals to be met, either to squeeze a little bit more moisture out of very small clouds or to suppress the size of hailstones in thunderstorms. Usually, if they're going to seed a typical rain cloud, it's not going to be some gargantuan system coming through. The technology and the physics of how clouds form and all that kind of stuff just isn't conducive for what can be done. So when I say they seed a cloud to squeeze more moisture, think of it like this. If they don't seed a cloud and you get 1 inch of rain out of that cloud, if they had seeded it, you might get 1.10 inches out of that rain. So it's to squeeze a little bit more moisture. And the thought process behind it was to prevent droughts, to kind of help our farmers, the ag kind of business with this. You know, a lot of people, and it's kind of staggering, as a matter of fact, how many people believe that like major weather systems are created through cloud seeding. It's I can't say any clearer. That is not the case. And the best analogy that I've found to kind of explain the scale of what can be done is I can blow out a candle with my breath, but I can't blow out a wildfire with my breath. So it's for little clouds that aren't part of a major system. If there's a drought in an area, they'll go up into it, try to squeeze an extra 10th or 2/10 of rain out of that cloud. And it's not always successful. It's got a 50 or so percent success rate. And that number may be a bit high. So that's one of the aspects. The other aspects people think is, you know, Belfield just got hailed out a couple weeks ago. Farmers lost everything. People think that was because of cloud seeding. Cloud seeding does the opposite. It's supposed to reduce the size of hailstones. There is no physical way to go into a cloud and enhance the size of hailstones. The chaos theory, the cloud formation process, the very delicate balance of keeping hailstones suspended in the air between different levels in the atmosphere to get the hail accumulation process going. You just can't go in there and script a model to influence billions of cloud water droplets that are going in every different direction. You just can't. So the designs are to be beneficial. So if you have a hailstone that's 2 inches large, in theory, and it does work sometimes, you can reduce those hailstone sizes to less than an inch, less than a half an inch, if the mission is successful. And again, the success rate of this is not close to 100%. But again, it's designed for very, very small scale systems. So large weather patterns like the Texas flooding, like the derecho event, again, you can't blow out a wildfire with your breath.
So I guess instead of cloud seeding, maybe I should be proper by saying cloud modification projects, I think is the correct way of describing this. When we're talking about these scales, it doesn't sound like it's even efficient, Kenny. So why are we doing it in the first place is one question. And then my other question is, how in the world do you go about cloud seeding? So those are my next two questions for you.
Sure. Yeah. Whether or not the process is efficient, given the success rates and the scale of what can or can't be done, you know, I'm going to leave that up to the viewers to decide. You know, there's been a lot of movements lately to nick some of the counties that cloud seeding is done in. So it seems like people have kind of formed an opinion kind of on that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell people whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm simply reporting what the science can and can't do. And if people like it, great, vote for it. If you don't like it, fantastic, vote against it. You know, that's for you to decide. But the basic science of it is, you know, I was actually just out there, ironically, yesterday. I visited with the program and talked to all four meteorologists on staff, got a hands-on tour of the whole process. So what they do basically
is... Oh, so you went up in the plane and everything?
I did not go up. They not go up yesterday, but they walked me through the whole process.
Oh, gotcha,
they sent me
gotcha. Okay.
File footage and all that. Yeah, so they primarily use what's called silver iodide, which they shoot into the base of a thunderstorm. Not always the safest process, as you can imagine. But the silver iodide basically acts as an agent to get more precipitation out of clouds. And the same kind of process is also done to reduce the size of hailstones within the clouds. So there's a lot of chemistry and physics kind of involved in exactly how the silver iodide reacts within the cloud. But, you know, to kind of follow up off of that, misconceptions people have is, you know, the chemicals that they spray into the cloud, they kill farmland or they kill grass or it's poison in the atmosphere. And it's just not how it works. It doesn't linger. It's not meant to sit in the atmosphere for hours or days or weeks afterwards. It's part of a reagent process that reacts within the cloud and then it's gone. Like, so it doesn't linger. Every aspect of this process to a degree is misunderstood, unfortunately.
KX News Chief Meteorologist Kenny Miller, thanks so much for the time and explaining just how the heck cloud seeding, or should I say cloud modification, works. Now, Beck is giving me the signal. She's saying it's time to head to break and wrap it up. So keep it locked right here. The Ben Show will be back right after this.
You asked for it, you got it. Watch the Cowboy Channel anytime, anywhere with the Cowboy Channel Plus. Live stream the Cowboy Channel or watch your favorite PRCA rodeos on demand. Classic PRCA rodeos added weekly. Get the Cowboy Channel Plus for only $9.99 a month or save 25% by signing up for a full year. Visit CowboyChannelPlus.com to sign up and start streaming today.
It's rodeo time, North Dakota. Coyote Contracting and Dakota Community Bank bring you the 6th Annual Golden Valley Shootout and Wayne Herman PRCA Invitational August 16th and 17th in Golden Valley.
Bull riding,
bareback,
and saddle bronc riding.
The rink is stocked, the toughest cowboys, and then it's the party in the dirt Saturday night with live music after the dust settles.
Tickets on sale at the gate, Golden Valley, August 16th and 17th. Be there.
You've waited, dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to the Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist. Welcome back to the Ben Show. Now, we've been following stories of how landowners and livestock producers are being impacted by the ever-increasing wolf pack relocations and reintroductions in some areas of the country. According to CPR News, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, the CPW, is set to kill at least one more wolf from the Copper Creek Pack in Pitkin County after a calf was killed by the pack near Aspen in July. This follows a string of attacks on livestock, including 8 confirmed kills in the area since the pack's relocation last winter. Wildlife officials confirmed the calf's death as a wolf kill on July 18th of 2025, noting evidence that wolves had injured the animal before it died. Despite several attempts to locate the wolves, CPW staff have face challenges due to difficult terrain. The decision to kill another wolf is part of ongoing efforts to manage the Copper Creek Pack, which was reintroduced into Colorado in late 2023. This pack has been problematic, causing and continuing damage to local ranchers, despite the agency's attempts to manage them, including removing a young male wolf in May. Ranchers like Tom Harrington say the only solution may be relocating or lethally removing the entire pack. Now, like I said, we've been following this very, very heavily. And as we turn our wheels a little bit, listen to this. And I mean, this might cause you to turn up the radio.
Like, literally listen to this one, right?
In an unexpected twist, American cattle ranchers and farmers are using music from rock legends. Listen to this. AC/DC.
Yeah!
That's right. They're cranking up AC/DC to protect their herds from gray wolf attacks. Since the reintroduction of gray wolves in 1995, their populations have thrived, but their return has also led to a rise in cattle deaths across several states. To combat this, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has been using drones, that's right, drones, equipped with speakers to play AC/DC hits like Thunderstruck and Blue on Black, alongside movie clips to drive wolves away from the livestock.
They can fly over our place anytime.
I know.
How awesome would that be that all of a sudden you're hearing Hell's Bells and you're hearing Thunderstruck and everything.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So if you're wondering how this is working, the drones are fitted with heat-seeking cameras to track wolves at night, and the loud sounds effectively disperse the predators. The technique has proven successful, reducing attacks in areas like Southwest Oregon, where wolf attacks dropped from nearly one every other night to less than one a month. Despite these efforts, however, wolf attacks on livestock continue, with dozens of cattle killed in states like California, Washington, and Colorado, like we just mentioned earlier. In California, 27 calves were killed in just 2 months earlier this year, costing ranchers millions of dollars in lost livestock and state reimbursements. Livestock producers are increasingly concerned that their livelihoods are under threat, especially as federal protections for wolves remain in place, limiting the ability to control their numbers. As a result, some lawmakers are pushing to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list, giving states more authority to manage wolf populations and protect agriculture. With the stakes higher than ever, Farmers and ranchers are calling for real solutions that protect their herds and their way of life. After all, think about this, folks. Protecting livestock is not just about economics. It's about ensuring the survival of a centuries-old way of life that feeds and sustains communities across the nation.
Now, here's where I would love to have AC/DC playing in the background, but of course we can't.
Otherwise, we got to pay.
Yeah, copyright. But if we're announcing rodeos, by golly, we're going to crank the AC/DC, which makes me want to go out and set up all of our speakers again and just see how well that would work.
Well, I also, right now, I'm thinking in my head of how I want to share with the U.S. Department of Agriculture my own rodeo list of music and say, here are some other hits that you can be playing to keep these wolves out of there.
You know, we've got a big, big, big rodeo coming up here in, what, like 3 weeks or something like that. Here's an idea. Maybe we should invite them to come and listen to one of our perfs. Just an idea, Beck. By the way, you can catch us at our next rodeo in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, September 5, 6, and 7 for the Devil's Lake Shootout Rodeo, which will be broadcast live on Beck TV. We'll give you all the details about that next week.
All right, folks, we're going to call this show wrapped. Thank you again for riding along with us. And if you have any questions like you did today about the cloud seeding, that was a great topic, by the way. You can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com or again, call or text us anytime at 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. And if you missed part of this episode or you want to hear past shows, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. And be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Ben Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Ben Show on Facebook and on Instagram at The Ben Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Ben Show.